Reno Center, March 13, 2022. After meditation and bhajans, Kavi starts the study circle by reading the quotes.
For this evening study circle, we're going to be reviewing Desire, Black and White from Love and Wisdom. First, we're going to read two quotes from Sai Baba. Quote one. Once you collect desires, you become their slave. You will find no end to them. When they are attained, others assail you and still leave you discontented. Be aware of your innate divinity and show these recurring desires their due place. The Atma in you is unaffected by desire or defeat or victory. They are passing clouds. The sun is not concerned with their comings and goings. Satya Sai Speaks, Volume 15, 1981. Quote 2. Be free from desires that drag you down. Have only the yearning to come face to face with the truth. That truth is shining inside you, waiting to be discovered. God is the indweller, and so when he is sought in the outer world, he cannot be caught. Love him with no other thought. Feel that without him, nothing is worth anything. Feel that he is all. Then you become his, and he becomes yours. There is no nearer kinship than that. The flames of jnana reduce to ashes the effects of all activities, says the Gita. They do not affect men anymore. Like a rope that has been reduced to ash, it can bind no more. Desire, Black and White. Poor mind, dressed in black and white, going through the cycle of time, repeatedly discontent. As it sees the light, it's already dark, smashed between like and dislike, moaning like a wounded dog. Poor man, whose name and form is mixed and created in this black and white, tossed between pleasure and pain, puppet of a needy mind. Pity the chain that is tied around his neck and the end to the tree of life. Pages upon pages form his misery upon the canvas of his life. O mind, dressed in black and white, listen, listen ever so carefully. All the information you have gathered as knowledge of survival, empty and yet full of pain, I say to you, spit your knowledge, fear, hesitation, and doubt. Spit your concern of duality, of good and bad. Let the man, with his mind clothed in black and white, die on the altar of wisdom and light. Be a witness to this crucifix that frees one from the cycle of birth and death. Listen, wanderer in the mind. Watch the caravans of never-ending thoughts marching before you. Move not, shake not, fear not. I am with you. That I am is, was, ever will be, without color, pure, unaffected, ever there, free from stories and death. Creation is not outside of you, rather created from the series of movements in the color of black and white. The cries of agony and joy are this black and white, and yet they are intertwined. Free yourself of color, bleach away its duality by staying in the colorless ground of I, self, that. Sat, December 5th, 2006. Does anything about either of these passages really resonate with you that you want to talk about? What about these passages really hits your heart, either of them?
توی یکی از قسمت‌ها که صرف میگم که نگرانی‌ها تو از دوگانگی خوب و بد تف کن، بگذار انسان بودنت با ذهن پوشیده در سیاه و سفید در محراب خرد و نور بمیره. من توی این سالا درکم از این مردن تغییر کرده، با تیچینگا و خردهایی که گرفتیم توی این سالا. قبلا مثل این که همین کشتن و جنگیدن بود برام، یه مفهوم بیشتر مبارزه کردن و جنگیدن بود، ولی کم کم با تغذیه شدن های زیادی که ساختم میشه با خردهای مختلف، این بیشتر درک میکنم که الان یا بهتر میدونم که همجور که اینجا هم گفته که ذهن راحلش یعنی برای مردن فقط احتیاج به نگاه کردن داره، دیدن خودم و نگاه کردن. این برای من مفهوم الان مردن رو پیدا کرده، نسبت به قبل خیلی برای استاپ کمکم میکنه.
So Hilo says about Sat's article, the part that it is talking about the altar. I'm trying to find.
Spit your concern of duality.
Can you read that for?
Yes. Spit your concern of duality of good and bad.
It's about being killed at the altar. So, okay, let the man with his mind clotted in black and white die on the altar of wisdom and light. And for Sohaila, she says the meaning of being killed and dying, all of that has transformed for me during these years. What I had in my understanding was more about like a fight, like quarrel, and it was more in about fighting with the thoughts. But gradually, with the wisdom of Sat, with all these different wisdoms that I have been, the nourishment of all those, gradually I understood that the solution is looking and observing and seeing. So this meaning of death and dying has transformed for me. So it's all about looking at and seeing and observing the mind.
For the first time, we noticed how it really breaks down everything in duality, like it's the black and white, the like and dislike, the pleasure and the pain, the, again, black and white. It's so interesting because I hadn't seen the breakdown so clearly, and I feel like it's kind of like a... words to live by from God, like to us, like this, like a guideline, sort of like a like this is how to do it, which I hadn't gotten before.
something that really resonates with me when I read it this time, Desire Black and White, is how clearly this speaks, is talking about the mind as a separate thing, as its own. It's just a separate from you, and it like points to it and looks at it and helps. And it just makes me, two things. I just remember the first time I read it, long time ago, or when I would really, many years ago, and I'd hear things like moaning like a wounded dog, tossed between pleasure and pain. I remember saying, yes, that's me. That's me. That's how I feel. And now, and that's how I know I'm in the right place. How do we fix me? And now it's so much more clear that like, that's the mind. That's the mind. That's what it does. And I think these years that Sat has invested in us, she has helped us actually experience this difference between this. And I'm super grateful and so excited to be reading it this way now. So thank you, Sat.
For me, it's interesting. The last line that says, free yourself of color, bleach away its duality by staying in the colorless ground of I, self, that. And then in the Baba quote, Baba says in the second quote, that truth is shining inside you, waiting to be discovered. God is the indweller. And it feels like in the ground of color, in the colorless ground of I, it shines. Like Baba said, it's shining inside you.
How does Desire Black and White make you feel when you hear it? What does it mean in your life?
For me, it's kind of like a before and after, like before guide, after guide, in terms of what's possible for you.
For me, it's tossed between duality and how not to be tossed between the duality.
Poor mind. Dressed in black and white, going through the cycle of time, repeatedly discontent. As it sees the light, it's already dark, smashed between like and dislike, moaning like a wounded dog. What is your understanding or experience of how the mind is described here?
Kind of like always chasing and always trying to find something, always desperate, you know, never finding the wisdom. No, you know, that's how it appears, sounds to me.
For me, it points to, I read it now, that part, and I think about what a wasted life is. And that feels like a wasted life to me, and hurt and painful at the same time. And I also, I just know that that was so my life. So it's, I don't know, now it looks, there's a lot of just hope when I read it now, because it's just not our lives the way it used to be. But it also points to wanting to really not waste life for me. Poor man, whose name and form is mixed and created in this black and white, tossed between pleasure and pain, puppet of a needy mind. Pity the chain that is tied around his neck, and the end to the tree of life. Pages upon pages form his misery upon the canvas of his life. What does it mean for one's name and form to be mixed and created in this black and white?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
To me, the mind only sees the surface, the shadows, never sees the truth. And these shades of black and white is all the mind can perceive, and it gets preoccupied and engaged with it. That's what this means to me.
To me, it reminds me of the wisdom that Seth has explained to us, that the everything started from the birth. So it's not, first of all, it's not anybody's fault, and it's the nature of Maya. So when we were born, all these dualities are there from the first moment that we were born. So when it says it's mixed and created in the black and white, it talks about the nature of Maya, which is the way it is. I can so much relate to this, and kind of similar to who you're sharing, it was my life too. So, and it's a blessing that I, even sometimes I may still feel kind of, I see the ups and downs of life, but at least I can see that there is a, I can see the mind and the body, not all the time as who am I really, and that that gives me hope to do my practices. So I feel less of these and more of the hope and joy and light. Like that self, that colorless versus the black and white, which is so easy to experience daily.
For me, that sentence reminds me a lot of the moment in the play that we put on for the Most Precious Retreat, when Bliss was acting the role of the child and she said, Bliss, and she realized she had that name. And it was one of the first of many chains that she was putting on, that we all put on. I remembered that moment so well when you read that line.
Same quote. What is your understanding or experience of the puppet described here? What about the chain tied around one's neck? So what is your understanding or experience of the puppet or this chain? And I'll reread it. Poor man, whose name and form is mixed and created in this black and white, tossed between pleasure and pain, puppet of a needy mind. Pity the chain that is tied around his neck, and the end to the tree of life.
It reminds me of the sentence that Sad said, that every thought is painful. I feel like going with any thought, you become a puppet, and then there's a chain around it. So for me, stop as much as I remember, and being empty and stay close.
I always have a visual when I read this one, black and white and chains of like a prisoner. And it reminds me of being a prisoner of my mind and a life of very limited capacity and chains. Whereas when you turn to the light, it all seems to be infinite and possible and beautiful and capable. And I'm so grateful to not be that prisoner the majority of the time.
This part really reminds me of the play also. The puppet just literally, like, mind says do something and you do it. And I think when I look back on my own time before being on this path and not knowing that I wasn't this mind, and yet it was such a bad, bad mind and doing such crazy things and throwing me around. But I think to me, that's the puppet, is that the mind makes you think it is like you and you're just doing what it's saying and reacting to it. And I think that space, and then like not seeing, not knowing that that's not real, is a chain.
What gets my attention, it says puppets of a needy mind. Why is it needy mind? Why don't
you say needy? I definitely can't answer your question, but something in the title, Black and White, makes me think about neediness, because if something's always going between black and white and just going back and forth. Oh, mind. Dressed in black and white. Listen, listen ever so carefully. All the information you have gathered as knowledge of survival, empty and yet full of pain, I say to you, spit your knowledge, fear, hesitation, and doubt. Spit your concern of duality, of good and bad. Let the man with his mind clothed in black and white, die on the altar of wisdom and light. Be a witness to this crucifix that frees one from the cycle of birth and death. What tools or practices or wisdom help you spit your knowledge, fear, hesitation, doubt, and concern of duality, or good and bad?
Let the man with his mind clothed in black and white die on the altar of wisdom and life. And then Baba said, the flame of jnana, or jnana, which is wisdom, reduces to ashes the effects of all activities. I feel like these two are just, they're saying the same thing. And it's so, so, so important. Let the man with his mind clothed in black and white die on the altar of wisdom and light. And Baba said, the flame of jnana reduced to ash the effect of all activities, says the Gita. So when you die through the wisdom and light, Baba says, they do not affect man anymore, like a robe that has been reduced to ash. It can bind no more. And then another place Baba says that I really like. He says, God is the indweller, and so when he is sought in the outer world means the senses and the mind, he cannot be caught. It means when we're involved with our mind, we cannot know God. And that is the same as saying, bleach it away. Free yourself of color, bleach away its duality by staying in the colorless ground of I, self, that. The question I like to ask, and I hope everybody participate, what is to be free from desire that drags you down? How do you free yourself of desire?
For me, I had to go after it full-fledged, full-heartedly, and really see for myself that what I thought was going to bring me the happiness and the joy was, it wasn't like that. It was actually, it was painful, it was hard, it was laborious, it was so laborious, and
it was empty but full of
pain.
Yeah, I was actually wondering what that sentence
for me it was getting disappointed so many times to finally say hell with it, I don't want it. In a lot of cases, I'm not saying I'm desireless, but in a lot of cases, or in some cases, this is how it happened.
Yeah, I also can't say I'm desireless, but for me, it's very based on certain practices, and they're really, I think, all contemplation helped me the most. So, like, am I this or this? Like, seeing those opposites helped. And then as we got farther, where did this desire come from? Follow it, find its root, and keep getting back to absolute nothingness. Mm-hmm. And then finally, practices about who desires. What's Cavi? What is that? Where did that even come? What is that bundle of shenanigans? What is Cavi? And then seeing that dissolve into nothing. So it was contemplation was the most helpful thing.
It always is.
Actually, for me, contemplation in the way of saying, is that really important? For who? For what? Yeah, it does help.
Your contemplation doesn't take you to the roots. It just convinced you it wasn't important. That's not contemplation, that's a choice. That's being intelligent. But what he's saying is different. He is really going to the bottom of who is desiring. And what is the thought of the desire? Just zooming in it instead of making a choice. Better to be intelligent than not to be, but it won't go far.
I feel like whenever we talk about, well, which tool helps you, I feel like everything on the path is like one package of a way of life. Like the way you've taught us to have simple joys, with the tools, with like all the different things that can help us if we stumble. Like it's all this panoramic, all-encompassing, mm-hmm. like every it addresses every facet of your life.
Yeah. For me, to be free from desire means to be free from the mind. You can't separate the identification with the mind and not having desire. I mean, they go it's like a cloth and the fabric and the dress. They can't be separated. Be free from desire that drags you down really means to inquire and release yourself of the chain for being a puppet. Have only yearning to come face to face with the truth. What is truth? What truth is he talking about? When the false is gone, you're face to face with truth. That's the only time we're face to face with truth. When at that moment we're not with the false. That's it. I think every sentence, if we look at it in more panoramic way of looking rather than word by word, we can understand it better. And here the black and white said creation is not outside of you, rather created from this series of movement in the color of black and white. Well, it sounds good, but what does it mean? Do we believe it? Do we experience it? Creation is not outside of you, rather created from the series of movement in the color of black and white. That alone is very deep. If we contemplate on it.
I have these times when my mind has overridden my inner wisdom, and those are some of the saddest times in my life, and I'm happy to see it go.
Yeah. You know, when our mind is calm and the movement is not there, the creation does not exist. If we pay a little bit of attention for a moment of release and a moment of just being, all the objects are gone because they are gone from our own mind. So is the creation outside or inside? Is it being perceived how? Every thought is painful. Even the most benign. Thoughts takes you away from your silence. That's the least And like some of you said, that most of us in this room came to this place out of pain and misery. We had had enough of being enslaved. Most people. Yeah, just like the play.
Sacha, when you said benign, like the least harmful, like even the least harmful.
It's just that you're just watching a very innocent movie in your head.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing wrong with following it, and then it turns that the last part of the movie becomes very, very violent.
Horror film. Dramatic.
Dramatic. And he said, wait a minute, I started it so soft. I was watching a good movie. And then it turned to a chaotic movie. And always in our imagination, daydreaming, there's always about me, about that entity. The entity talked to this one and it just did really good, the entity, because the entity, that the person is not separated from the mind. So they sort of enjoy it.
Sacha, this line you just read, the second line actually says, poor man whose name and form is mixed and created in this black and white. You just said it, like, as soon as this thought of me comes, or I, the name and form is mixed within the creation. Right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And then
yeah, the creation starts.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting that you had two plays, both of which gave such a visual demonstration of this.
Has everybody in the Zoom seen their plays? Those two play?
I saw the play that was during the retreat.
Yeah, that's right. You saw, and then there was another one later on. What year was it, Most Precious? 4 years ago?
2017. No.
2018.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
I can send
it. It was continuation of that.
I can send them that.
That one was to leave home. And then the second one was realizing what made you leave home and then going back home. But I warn you, it's dramatic.
And transformative. Sachin, the dawn process, cries of agony and joy are this black and white, and yet they are intertwined. That means that the agony and joy, too, both are intertwined.
Yeah, of course.
One is the other side of the other.
Thank you, Seth. Namaste.
Namaste.